This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi. Truth in engineering.
Ron Syrick is a senior writer at Golf Digest, and I wanted to spend a segment this week talking about Arnold Palmer, who turned 86 earlier this week. It's a pleasure to welcome Ron Syrick back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Ron.
How you doing, John? Thanks for having me back.
My pleasure. I did not choose you because of your age in this. Do you remember the first time you met Arnold?
Oh, gee, the first time I saw him was 1958. He had won his first Masters, and he had a commitment to do an exhibition at Newcastle Country Club in the town that I lived in then, Newcastle, Pennsylvania. And he flew in on a little single-engine Beechcraft airplane and landed at Newcastle Airport, which was basically a slab of concrete and a windsock, and went and did his exhibition there. And it didn't occur to me till much later, decades later, that how amazing for Arnold. It showed you right out of the box, he wins his first major, and he could have easily blown off that commitment to do that exhibition in this little tiny town, but he showed up and did it.
What does it say about them? I mean, you remember the first time you saw him. Do you remember the first time you saw Jack or anything? I mean, it does speak a lot that all of us remember the first time we saw Arnold Palmer.
It's funny. I do remember the first time I saw Jack was in 1967 American Golf Classic, which ended up being won by Arnold Palmer in Akron, Ohio. Arnold over the years I've never known anybody who intuitively, instinctually always did the right thing in terms of interacting with the media, with the fans, with corporate partners. I remember in 1998, Tiger Woods won the money title for the 1997 season. So at the season opening tournament, they were having their awards banquet, and the money title is the Arnold Palmer Award. So Arnold is presenting the award to Tiger, and he calls out and says, and the winner of the Arnold Palmer Award, Tiger Woods. And Tiger gets up, starts coming to the podium, and he gets about 20 feet away, and Arnold points at him and says, stop right there. And then proceeds to give him about a two-minute lecture on, just remember, you didn't create golf. Golf created you. Golf's responsible for everything that you have. Don't ever forget that you have to give back constantly to the game. And I was thinking, first off, nobody except Earl Woods could get away with talking to Tiger that way. And secondly, that was the spirit, the motivation, the inspiration that Arnold has lived his entire career by. Always give back to the game of golf.
For those that have not had the pleasure, explain what it's like to shake that hand.
It's like shaking hands with Yogi Berra's catcher's mitt. It's massive. And you know, I remember the great basketball player Bob Cousy once saying that all exceptional athletes are freaks in some sort of way. Cousy had peripheral vision where he could see almost behind him. And Arnold has these massive, enormous hands. And if the phrase country strong means anything, that's where Arnold got those hands. He started driving a tractor on the golf course where his dad was a superintendent when he was like 8, 9, 10 years old. And he built up hand strength, arm strength, all from not working out in the gym, but for doing hard work on the golf course.
You were in the room, weren't you, when he said goodbye to the U.S. Open at Oakmont?
It's the only time I've ever applauded in an interview room in my many, many, many years of doing this job. Finally, it's Friday. He misses the cut. He comes in the interview room. There's about 300 reporters in there. Arnold starts to talk and breaks up, can't finish his sentence. He starts again, breaks up, can't finish his sentence. He tries a third time, can't do it. Finally, he looks up and says, guys, I'm sorry, I just can't do it. And in tears, gets up and walks out, and everybody in the room, 300 people, stand up and gave him a standing ovation.
We are talking with Ron Syrack, senior writer at Golf Digest. What do you think is the secret to his popularity?
Well, you know, first thing is there was incredible good fortune both for Arnold and for golf that he came along right as television was discovering sports. And you think of when he won that first major in 58. In 60, he won the Masters, the U.S. Open, that amazing, amazing comeback at Cherry Hill, 65 in the final round. And and who televised better than Arnold Palmer? He had movie star good looks. You know, back in a day when people didn't frown upon it, he'd flick that cigarette out of his mouth next to his golf ball, and he had that corkscrew swing. Everything about him was compelling. He was the made-for-TV golfer, and he had that charming, charming, charming personality. So the timing was absolutely right for him. But the second thing was that, you know, sort of what I said before is he never stops selling the game of golf. And for me, from where I sit, I grew up in a town about 70 miles from where Arnold was, and my dad worked in the steel mills. And my dad took up golf when he was 35 years old, which was 1955. And that was because in 1955, the son of a local greenskeeper, Arnold Palmer, won his first professional tournament. And my dad played Industrial League fast pitch softball. Every factory had a fast pitch softball team. By 1960, every factory in western Pennsylvania had a nine-hole golf league. Arnold took the game out of the country club and brought it to working people, to common people. He was the single biggest grow-the-game program golf's ever had.
Well, that leads me to the... I mean, he will always say that he owes the game of golf everything. The game owes him nothing. What does the game owe him?
Well, I'll say this. You could have a great argument about who the most... the best golfer of all time is, you know. Was it Bobby Jones or Ben Hogan or Jack Nicklaus or Tiger Woods? But if the argument is who's the most important golfer of all time, there's no question who that is. That's Arnold Palmer.
I'm beginning to get the impression that some of the guys out there today get it. I mean, I love the fact that when Jack and Arnold and Gary are on the first tee here on that Thursday in April, you know, Phil might be out there, Bubba might be out there. I know Fuzzy always stands back, you know, by the clubhouse because he wants to, as he says, see the old guys hit it another time. I do like the fact that they do seem to be getting it, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, golf in my lifetime has had two great bursts forward, and the first was Arnold Palmer, and the second was Tiger Woods, and I think that everybody is starting to appreciate that it's been possible for them to have a very, very good and lucrative life in the game of golf because of what Arnold did, and Arnold didn't have to remain as loyal to the game as he did. You know, look at little things. We talk a lot that Arnold saved the British Open by going to St. Andrews in 1960 and putting it back on the competitive map by playing there. He did. That's absolutely true. At the same time, that was a beginning step of the globalization of the game of golf. And it was the beginning, really, too, of the Arnold Palmer financial empire extending all over the globe. Arnold Palmer designed the first golf course built in China. You know, he was in the forefront of taking the game outside of its traditional boundaries of Britain and the United States and taking it to all these other places.
You've probably said a lot of it already. Can you conjure up your favorite Arnold Palmer story?
Oh boy, you know, that's hard to do. I guess there's so many in there. A few years ago, a guy who had been his PR person for many, many years, Beb Norwood at IMG,
yep,
passed away. And one of the amazing things about the Bay Hill tournament every year is on Saturday night, Arnold and his longtime other PR guy, Doc Giffen, would throw a party for the media, a dinner for the media, a sit-down dinner for the media. It was just Arnold's way of always giving back to them. But a couple years ago, when Arnold showed up there just to talk about Bev and to talk about what the media meant to his career, he's truly somebody who understood, and I think a lot of players today miss this point. Having good relationships with the media is not a bad thing. Arnold is, to the best of my knowledge, no one's ever written a bad word about Arnold Palmer. And part of that was because Arnold always went out of his way to get to know you. He calls you by your name when he sees you. He always makes sure that you get everything you need. If one of his handlers tries to cut off an interview, that's not going to happen if Arnold's not done, or if he doesn't think that you haven't gotten everything you need. So his... the way he's given back to the media over a year is something that I'm always going to be grateful for and remember.
Well, I am grateful that you took the time to do this. Ron Cyrak, senior writer at Golf Digest, thank you for being there when I asked. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on, John.